the prophetic is all about. What is this word prophecy? Never come across it at all. Well, what we really want to do over the course of these sessions is really what we described as, that's what we want to do, develop the prophetic. So whether you know little or you know lots, our prayer and our belief is that as we have these sessions together, that all of us will actually take some steps forward, not just in our thinking, but also in our experience of the prophetic and what that means, and unlock some things together. We want to be practical too. That's why when you arrive, hopefully you had a little magnifying glass. One of the questions that God often asks the prophets, or the prophets often ask God's people, is this question: what do you see? And I'm not going to start doing the teaching. Steve's going to do all of that. But actually, it's a very practical question. And we want to be practical as well in these sessions. So there's no pressure attached. But what we want to do is give ourselves the opportunity to develop, grow in the prophetic. And we'll actually maybe at some point ask ourselves the question, what do you see? And we're going to encourage all of us to get involved, to get engaged, not to somebody, but to engage in the topic, and to have a think about what God is wanting to say to us personally. So I'm just warning you so that you can get ready for that. Steve, going to invite him to come in a moment. Many of you will have met Steve before, but if you haven't, he's a great friend of ours. He's a teacher. He travels a lot all over the place, internationally sometimes, to speak into churches. Done a lot of actually preaching and teaching on the prophetic over the years. You do other things as well, I know, Steve, but he's looking at me strange. But it's always our privilege when Steve comes, not just because he's a great teacher, not just because he actually carries a very strong prophetic anointing and hears what God has got to say to us and to people, but actually because he's a great friend of ours throughout the years. And there's something that actually comes that comes with a real strength.
Yes.
When someone comes who has a relationship and a connection with us. So we get the extra benefit and the bonus of having that relational connection with Steve. So that's kind of the background. Steve's going to come and speak to us. Why don't we just welcome him?
Thank you.
And Steve's done some fantastic notes. We're all good to go for full on everything. Steve done some brilliant notes. We're going to hand those out now, and Steve will no doubt refer to some of those.
Yeah.
There may be things that you'll want to look back on later, and please, we discussed this at the start. The danger with giving out notes is that you don't listen to Steve. Please don't allow that little trick to grab you. But why don't we pray for Steve as he comes to speak to us? Is that good, Steve?
Yeah, thank you very much.
And then, so Father, we thank you for this man of God. We thank you that he's with us today, Lord. We love him dearly, and we know we're so grateful that you've anointed him to teach and to share your heart with your church. And so this afternoon, Father, and tomorrow, Lord, as we share these times together, these sessions, Lord, we pray that you would anoint him afresh. Pray that he would have extra clarity to hear you and to speak into our situation, into our lives, to unlock the things of God, some of the mysteries that are wrapped up in knowing you. Lord, we pray that some of these things will be unlocked and revealed to us today. We thank you that your presence is here. Thank you that there's a sense of faith amongst us. And Lord, we are expectant and eager to hear what you've got to say to us and what you're going to do in us. We say this, all these things, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's welcome Steve again.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. This is nice, isn't it? Is it water or is it something else? Do we know? Those of you that laugh and think it could be gin or vodka, couldn't it? It really is, for me, brilliant to be here. I will get louder. I get excited. And I did have a good trip up, actually.
Good.
I had a mixture of listening to Tottenham and Arsenal. Anybody want to know the score, or do you all know it? Two all, yeah.
yeah, we don't want to know it.
All right. And that was interspersed by a CD by Chuck Pierce. Have you come across him? American prophet. All very intriguing because he talks about a new day, a new beginning, a new wineskin, a new season, a new everything. Which that song, one of those songs early on, we sang, didn't we? You just say yes, we did. Yeah. So more will come about that probably tomorrow. You have these notes. No one's looking at them. Aren't you obedient? I wouldn't. I'd be sniffing them around, you know, and all that sort of thing. I probably have over-prepared. I have a plan, some sort of plan to get through some of this or all of it. Things could go haywire, but as long as it's God, we don't mind, do we? No, you all say. Now, I'm gonna drip on. Anybody remember Morris Smith? Yeah, he used to drip on. Did you know that? And what are you doing? In case I fall over. Yeah. But what I'd love you to do, if there's stuff that is said and done and you're not sure, I don't mind if you disagree. I'm not too fussed about disagreeing. What I am concerned about is understanding. And if you would like to interrupt me and ask why, you're very welcome to. You will? Okay. That would be good. I'd love you to do that, and then you can come out and we'll pray for you. I don't know. Ooh, I got stuck at the body then. Yeah. Ooh. So, what else was I going to say? I've talked about the M62 and the sort of snow there, and the sun was so hot it was burning my face at one time through the winds. Isn't the climate interesting? Yeah. I mean, we even had snow in Biddy Garstang, which is below sea level almost this week. Not below sea level just this week, but you know what I mean. I'm really tempted to tell you the joke about the three-legged chicken, but I'll do it later. It's the funniest thing in the universe, but I am a disaster at telling jokes. I know, that'll keep you. So I'm going to have to do this. This week, I've done something that I'd never thought I would do. I've gone on Facebook. Yeah, I can't cope with the blooming thing. There's too much. It bombards you. Do you know what I mean? I don't know what to do, but I sort of get in there. And I've done it for a reason that you'll learn about later. And one of the people that I connected with was a guy called Mike from Bristol. And sort of you pick up all these old friends if you're a certain age. And Mike is a brilliant guy. He had quite a background, really. In fact, I refer to him in something that I've just written that you'll find out about later. And he had some real illness. I'm now in the 1980s. Anybody not born then? Disgusting. Yeah. And he needed dialysis. And we found out, we were in the church in Bristol then, we found out that he only had one kidney, and that was in real difficulties. And he had dialysis for quite a while. And then, miraculously, he had a kidney transplant. Now, this is in the 80s. It was a miracle that he had one. We were praying for other miracles. And we then moved on north, and we've been up north about 20-odd years, and kept in touch a little bit. I'd found out that he'd had another transplant, and talking to him this week, he sounded good and felt good, and good story, isn't it? But I've been thinking about that. I've been thinking about dialysis, actually. Does that mean anything to anyone? Hey, up. You? What should we... Anybody else? Him? Pardon? Oh, do you? Can I sort of break into my notes and forget them? Yeah. Should we pray for Lulu first? And then we'll pray for George, shall we? What's your name?
Sue.
Peggy Sue. Remember that? No, you're too young. It was 1950s. Well, Sue, we just call upon you, Lord, for Sue, and that the caring... There's a naughtiness in your caring, actually.
Yes.
Isn't there? Yeah, I can see her sort of poking in, and you know, people are all wound up and bowels in an uproar and all the rest of it. But you just Did I just say something then? You just give them peace. What you do, you just settle them down, stuff a cup of tea somewhere, and you just get them to unwind and relax, because they look at you and they think, good grief, who's this? But they think, I can trust her. So your shepherd's heart in that ward, you just overflow, and that you bring them into peace. And do you know why, Sue? Because you're safe.
Thank you.
You are. Take that on, won't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it's so important. You're in the right place.
Yeah.
You've got an anointing to minister to people. And I pray for these hands that, Lord, wouldn't it be really brills if you could just use these hands and release your resurrection life through. And, people get better quicker.
Yeah.
People don't need so much dialysis. And what about a few more miracles, Lord?
Yes.
Because there's a seed of faith in there, because she knows that when Jesus, Lord, when you said, I am the resurrection and the life, it wasn't just sometime in the future or in the past, it was now. And you carry that heart for people. So there.
Thank you.
It's all right. Hello. We have met before, and I sort of come here and I think I get John and Zoe and Kirsty and Paul, and not so much Matt and Claire now, but I get that Bell family totally mixed up. Anybody else like that? Good golly, Miss Molly. And I've forgotten your name.
Jeff.
Well, Jeffers. Anybody know Jeff? So you've all got, there's some, your heart goes out to him, doesn't it? A response. Anybody like to use their hands to help me? Quick, please. So what we're going to do, Blimey, a whole lot of you are coming, quick. What we're going to do is lay hands on him, and I'm going to believe like you that through us, through a coming, cuss right. Anybody who really wants to, has never done it before, quick, come out as well. Quick. You've got 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Right. We're going to believe that life will come through. So I don't know where the kidneys are. They're down there somewhere, aren't they? Yeah. Someone lay hands on them. Yeah, a bit lower. That's right. That's bruise. Lord, here's a man that moves in spiritual warfare every day, because he overcomes. He overcomes. And sometimes he's up and down, or a Blackpool donkey. We understand that, Lord. But he's an overcomer day by day. Yeah. I don't know how long it takes him to get out of bed, let alone anything else. But I just thank you. What are you laughing at? It
takes a while sometimes.
Yeah. But here he is, a testimony to the grace of God.
Yes. That's right.
Yes.
We'd love to see a testimony to the resurrection power of healing, wouldn't we? I think in many ways, Lord, he's been healed inside, in his spirit, in his emotions. And I pray that as we lay hands on him, your river of life might tsunami through us. And we speak to these kidneys and we command them to come into alignment with God's purpose of wholeness. In the name of Jesus, we speak healing and wholeness. We cannot do a thing except just trust your word and speak healing right into him. And by faith we know in Jesus' name that your life is going through us right into that whole area. Let his blood flow incredibly. Let the red and white cells come into right order and all these sort of things, Lord. Let it be the beginning of major change. We say life, don't we? Life. Life. Anybody got anything to speak into him? Oh, you can do that as well if you like. You got about 10 seconds.
I just have a sense of what you said, spiritual warfare.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Thank you so much. The thing is, in that sort of thing, maybe you could classify that as a sort of a word of knowledge, which is a revelation of communication. So you're speaking because of revelation that the Lord has given you about something, somebody, a body part, whatever. And out of that comes the prophetic word. I've got totally no doubt. So as you prophesy much more, please be open to a revelation of communication, a word of knowledge, or a revelation of wisdom, the word of wisdom. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? So there's always much more. And what seems to be on so many people, and I feel it here. I mean, I opened up your email, Matt, this morning sometime. I don't know how early it was. I was up there early. And about the planning of tomorrow, basically. And what came out to me was this wave of excitement. Yes. And this wave of sort of determination that God, can't say it, that God wants to release people like you and me. I mean, who are we? You know, just ordinary people. As one of them sang, maybe Dave Bilborough, an army of ordinary. Remember that? Yeah, and I feel that's us. And I think God wants us to move on because the wineskins are going to change. And he's up for putting new wine in us, but I want to make sure I'm malleable and flexible to contain the life of the new wine, which is so crucial in these days, because if the skin is old and all the rest of it, broken and, you know, the new wine would just explode out of it. And we've had enough of that in the past, haven't we? You know, in 1904 to about 5 years, the Welsh revival, they had 100,000 people saved in 5 years. I've forgotten how many a day. That's just under, between 45 and 50 people a day for 5 years. That was the Welsh revival. Me coming from Bristol, it hardly affected any part of England. And then suddenly, gone. You go down there today, go down to Lochore, which is near Swansea, Llanelli, where it sort of started. There's a sort of a bust of Evan Roberts outside on a plinth. That's about all there is. And I'm thinking, hallelujah for the new wineskins, but somehow we need to adapt into what God is doing. And if you and I were around in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, we would freak right out, because God is predictable in, I hope I say this right, in Carrick. He's predictable in, I dug a hole there, didn't I? He's predictable in character and unpredictable in action. We're the other way around, perhaps that's why I stumbled. And God did something which was ridiculous. Fancy a wind coming up in the meeting. Fancy flames coming up, you know. Imagine if it happened here and all the flames broke off and started dancing around. It's phanerosis. And they caught your heads on fire. No wonder people ran out in the street speaking in funny languages. But, I mean, it's mad. It's crazy. It's preposterous. Which can't be God. I've never seen this before. Well, look out, because I believe we're in that context. I'm not started. We're in that context of God wanting to do something new, not for the sake of it, but so that we can be raised up as a people of God to give a hope or a reason for the hope that is in us, that we can communicate about Jesus. We can get into those songs which were so classic about responding to God out there. I've begun to sing in supermarkets, only to myself, you know, quietly. And one or two people are here, what are you singing about, you know? And it's a little opening. I've got to the place where I said to somebody, well, it is my faith. I just want to sing because it's good. And I could probably say God and they'll be all right. But if I said Jesus, be interested. But it's going to happen. And there's something going on. So this is crucial. I've got some quotes here. Where's your notes? Oh, they're not in your notes. I'm really behind, Matt. Never mind. Tough, doesn't matter, does it? The closer you are, the clearer you see, the clearer you hear. So whatever goes on, I'm so... Did I hear... Was it yours? Okay, that's quite all right, Cooch. Yeah. The closer you are, the clearer you see, the clearer you hear. So I'm after us getting right into some of those words and music that we heard, that we get close as we can to Jesus. There's a verse, I'm sure it's in the notes somewhere, Jeremiah 23:18, or is it 18:23? Oh, I do this all the time. Anybody know? Jeremiah 23:18, thank you. How do you know? Did you? Is it in the notes? Oh, it's in the notes. Okay. Who stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and hear his word? So we can. When? Now. Where? Wherever we are. So I want to move with my pustinia, don't you? Anybody heard of that word? Who said yes? Oh, it's you. Oh, she's heard it from me. It means the summer house in the garden, or it means the cave in the desert, whereby we go away in quietness and commune with God. I think mine's in here. Where's yours? Yours is in here. So even driving up the M62, amidst all the hoo-has of the spirit of overtaking on the inside, and all, not me, and that, you know, we can have this sense of communing with God. The closer you are, the clearer you hear and see. And that's what I'm after. So wherever we are, whatever we're doing, there's that place that, by the way, don't close your eyes and commune while you're driving, will you? I've known someone do that, but anyway. Wherever we are, we're in touch. And that's so important, isn't it? Yes, you said, with joy in your hearts. Good. Here's some. I've got a quote from Catherine Booth. I found this the other day, and I long for this. If we are to better the future, we must disturb the present. Do you like that, Catherine Booth? If we are to better the future, we must disturb the present. And I thoroughly, just before the beginning of this year, I was thinking a new season. Don't we all think that? But I suddenly felt not just a new season, but a new season. In other words, we all say new season, but this was something different. Something is going to happen. And I want to be in that place with God where I can be a disturber. Ahab said to Elijah, "You troubler of Israel." I think it's about time we became troublers and disturbers, don't you? I heard a great amen then. I didn't know I was going to say this. And that is where we are. I think God wants to get hold of the church. I don't know what his plans are, really, but there's something in me that says we're on the verge. We're on the edge. We sang that as well, didn't we, that in there? Sonic's, oh my goodness me. Now, I'm going into Catholic land. St. Catherine of Siena said, "Be who God meant you to be, and you'll set the world on fire." Be who God meant you to be. Are you? Mm-hmm. All right, then I'll give you an evangelical one. God is preparing his heroes, and when the opportunity comes, he can fit them into their places in a moment, and the world will wonder where they came from. Oh, I love those sort. I like to think them up myself, but I'm not there. But that is so classic, isn't it? That the world will, well, who are you? Where have you come from? What are you saying? Oh, there's some wisdom coming out of you, which is so, so important, isn't it? Yeah, it really is. There's some wisdom coming out of you, isn't there? He's full of wisdom. He's like, I can see, respectfully, a great big fat sponge that he purposefully, he might even get up early occasionally, he purposefully reads and just soaks in. And what he's soaking in, I've forgotten his, I'll remember your names when I, just about as I'm going. Hmm? Oh, well, that's it then. One to another, yeah. And it's wisdom that soaks in. And what the Lord's going to do, oh great Steve, is he a PH or a V? Yes, that's good. What the Lord's going to do is lift you up and just give you a few squeezes, because it's time for that wisdom to be released. Not in drips and drops and dribbles, but like a great river. Is that all right? Good. My mother used to call me, she always called me Stephen. Stephen? You know, and I knew that wasn't good. But so what am I saying? This is not the time for mediocrity, compromise, or just getting by. I'm cheesed off, aren't you? I don't want to just get by, do you? We don't, do we? We don't sue, do we? No. I thought I heard a man's voice then. Was that you? No. We're not here to survive and settle and wait for Jesus to return as we have a good time in our stronghold. I don't know whether I've ever said this here, but it's an old Pentecostal chorus has just come back to me. What, do you want me to sing it? No. If Chris was here, she'd say no. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus loves me still. Wrong tune. Out of wrong key. And what it meant was defense mentality. You know, we're surviving till he takes us out of it. It's all baloney. It really is. That's Hebrew. It really Survival isn't the issue. We're called to thrive, not survive. I didn't make that up either. I've read it again, another thing this week. We're called to thrive, not survive. And my prayer is, oh God, shake us nicely, if that's possible. But get us into the place whereby we can move on into the fullness of our destiny. So important, isn't it? Yes, you said. It really is. Oh, don't say we've never done it before. Say, this is an opportunity to be first. You know, and the thing about nice people, are you nice people? Nice people don't cause problems sometimes. Nice people don't cause problems. They like fresh cream, nice cakes, don't they, and all that. Have we got any later? It's time to step out of the mold. I think the church has been too safe and, I say in from my Bristol background, comfy. What do you say here? Comfy. They say it over the other side, comfy, comfy. We're all comfortable and nice, and we could get into nice songs. Those songs are so gloriously prophetic, but we could be at a certain level and just be nice. They could flow over us, and we could get nice feelings and then go home and forget everything. I don't want to be like that anymore, do you? Nay, 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 thrust, nay, 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 nay. The thing is, the world has been affected by the syndrome of Christopher Columbus. Do you know that? When he set sail, he didn't know where he was going. When he got there, he didn't know where he was. And when he came home, he didn't know where he'd been. It's true. It's true. I don't want to be like that anymore, do you? No, you said. So what am I saying? God is enough. And I want God to be a radical prophetic people, don't you? And here we are. I believe God wants a radical, not God wants. You heard me. Here we are. Look at us. No plan B. It's us. It's us. But you have the capacity and the ability. And isn't God good? Because character, personality, it's so brilliant. Because we're all so different, aren't we? What he needs is us all. You might be quiet like me, or you might be loud like who said Kirsty? Yeah.
Best friend.
Is it? Well, we're into a new ministry called Slap 'em and Deck 'em. Is that all right? I was going to say like Zoe, but she's sneaky, is Zoe. It's called compassion. It's called What colour are her eyes? John? Is it John? Oh. I cannot believe it. I've known him for years. I'm getting on. You know, I'm over 50, aren't we? What colour? Blue? Yeah. There's something about her. God takes up whom he will. But the compassion is there. What I love about Jesus, he saw the broken and the wounded and the hurting, and he had compassion. And I'm sure that something happens in here.
Right.
But he healed them. You know, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. And I'll bet you've dreamt about it. I bet you've had sort of dreamy times about you. But it's according to the power that works in us. It's Ephesians 3:20. And the power and the life, Paul, I got it right, in her is absolutely out. Come out the shadows in the name of Jesus. Of course, you were doing very good at the back. But I think God wants to promote her a bit to the front, don't you? So we're not going to make her into something that he doesn't want. But what we're going to see happen is something's going to be released for you to step into much more of who you really are. And he wants that. Of course, he loves you who you really are. But you see, in quietness and in confidence can be your strength. Nothing wrong with that. But one day she will stand on the chairs and shout. She will run round and round and round. And all, you'll all fall down. But what I love, that deep in there, look at those eyes. There's such a compassion. She's full of mercy. She's kind. She's generous. She'll give away all your money, you know. She will. It's so brilliant. So I pray in Jesus' name, stir her heart, Lord. And just, the thing is, you hear God more than you think. And he nudge you. Do you say nudge here? Nudge duck. Do you say nudge duck? We're not in Duckland. No, we are in Duckland. Is it near Derby? Knots. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, but he'll nudge you. But the thing is, you do hear and you think, oh, is that God? But it usually is. So there. Right, we're going somewhere. I'm on page. I've got about 12,000 words here. What? What? Right. Ready? Yeah, that was very prophetic, wasn't it? Well, I'm up for it. I was going to ask you, right, do this quickly if you can. How many spiritual gifts are there? Quite a lot. Pardon? Eight. Who said nine? How many? Who said what? Six? 15? All right, shall I tell you? Now, this is not the answer of all ages. This isn't the be-all and end-all. Yeah, 31. You're looking at me as though I've gone into Martian territory. Right, three groups. Romans 12, 6 to 8, there's 7. 1 Corinthians 12, that's what we usually call spiritual gifts, but it's wider, 8 to 10. And Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, the fivefold. So there's 21, unless my maths is eluding me. And 1 Corinthians 12, 28, you haven't got any of this, have you? Oh, you've got bits there, yeah. There's a couple more there, like helps and that sort of thing. But there are some more, like celibacy. You into that? Voluntary poverty. I have got references if you want them. Just see my notes later. Hospitality. There's one 1 Peter 4:11 called speaking, which I think is prophetic. Maybe we'll try that tomorrow. Missionary, sort of the mission thing. Intercession. Exorcism. And there's possibly one more, or probably one more. Anybody know what I've left out? It's one that I could say to you, I'm not keen about it right now. Martyrdom. Interesting, isn't it? I think I couldn't die for you. I could probably die for my family, But I feel in the situation that we're in, if that's sort of going to happen, God gives us grace. That's all I can say. Because I need it, don't you? I don't mind walking through the door in death. It's how you die, isn't it? Anyway, so there's 31. And it's intriguing to me. I don't want to go on about those 31, but I'm just leading to one of them. But in 1 Corinthians 12, 1, it talks about spiritual gifts, doesn't it? And what you have got in your notes, it's sort of is giving you an indication that something in there does not appear in the original Greek. The original Greek would probably say, now concerning spirituals, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. The words, so what they've done, they've taken the word spirituals, which is pneumatikos, I think that's sort of a pronunciation, but it means basically the expression of life and power of the Holy Spirit. Now, concerning the expression and life of the power of the Holy Spirit, I don't want you ignorant. Does that make sense? Then he goes on and talks about the different kinds of gifts. Verse 4, but the same Spirit. It mentions it again in 1 Corinthians 14, 1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Then it says especially, I'll come back to that. So it's saying desire the manifestation, the life of the Spirit. That to me personally takes my focus on the gifts of the Spirit, but puts my focus on Him. Simply, that's the issue. And I want to focus on Him because I sincerely believe if we relate to 1 Corinthians 12, the 9, wisdom, knowledge, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, healings, ratapahosohoyoto, interpretation and prophecy, there's 9. I think if that is so that I've just said, if I follow after the Spirit, He gives me the gifts that He wants me to have for the situation that I'm in, which means to me, I can move in any of those 9 gifts as He wills. Start there. So where do I focus? On Him. But when He speaks Abba into your hearts, and you live in an Abba, a father heart lifestyle, you'll be as close and close and close as you can, as you can, as you can. So I'm focusing all the time on Him, on the Holy Spirit leading me through Jesus to the Father. Does that make sense? So important. There is a but. I'll come to that in a minute. There is a but. Oh, here it is. So the emphasis is away from the gift and focused on the giver. Once you're there, it says then, especially that you might prophesy. But don't start halfway through the sentence. Focus on Him. But then it says, and it's rare because it's the only one he talks about, especially the gifts, the gift of prophecy. I think that's intriguing because there's an emphasis, because he doesn't say the others, he says this. Maybe he's meaning that we should pay attention to this as well. In Ephesians 4, the fivefold, the prophet. In Romans 12, it talks about prophecy. In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about prophecy. So there is a connection through. I understand, I'll come back to this. I understand that we can all prophesy, but I believe we're not all prophets. Make sense? Okay. But maybe we can mature into that. Because if I have the gift of prophecy, I believe He gives me that gift for an occasion, and I give it out, and then it's gone, and I'm waiting on Him to give me another gift or that gift again. I think with the fivefold gifts, I think the human being, the woman or the man, develops and matures and grows into that gift so that he or she is the gift. Do you see? Those fivefold, pastor, teacher, there's two, evangelist, apostle, prophet, yeah. So they're the gift, and I've met some of those people. But we tend to emphasize prophet and apostle, but the other three are the gift, and there's gifts in this room. You're gifted. You're gifted when you're asleep, when you're awake. You're gifted 24/7. Now, how we handle that in our personalities, you know, predictable and unpredictable, is an issue. But I want to be like that, knowing that my personality and character is in such a place in God that I know I am like that all of the time. I believe He's called me to be like that in certain areas. But I want to live like that, don't you? As I've learned to live in a lifestyle of forgiveness 24/7. Is that easy? Nay, nay, nay. But we can, can't we? Does that make sense so far? Now, 1 Peter 4:10, serve one another as stewards of God's grace. So that's important. The whole thing is servant heart grace. Grace, charis, charisma, charismatic. I think I said somewhere, so I might have even written it in Facebook. It's somewhere in the morass of what I said. I'm going to this charismatic church. Did I call you a charismatic church? Is that all right? Or did I say charismaniac? I don't know. Aha, no, I didn't. But there's something about grace. I can't go into that, but there's a relationship, a strong relationship to gifts and grace. It's got a root, charismata, charismatic, which is very important. So grace involves God giving us the desire and power, oh, you've got this, to accomplish His will. Now, in all of that, I focus especially that you might prophesy. So what's coming back to me? Focus on Him. Be close. Stand in the council, Jeremiah 23, so that you see His word. Now, see and hear, that's quite a difference. So in... I'm going to do something. Can I interrupt myself? Ha, ha, ha. Where is it? Oh, I've got it. Right, 2 Kings 5, verse somewhere. Right, 15 to about 18. So you have the spirit of James Bond coming on Elisha because he tells the king, which king was it? One king, about the king of Aram, who in his sort of bedroom was speaking strategy, but God gave the revelation to Elisha, who was nowhere near his bedroom. And, you know, it's just an amazing spy story, if you want to put it in that way. And this king got really cobbed off with Elisha and sent not just a few people, sent his flipping army, sent a great army to kill him off. So this Elisha was at a certain place. Was it Dothan? Or, I don't know where it was. It was somewhere, wasn't it? Yeah. And he's with his servant. And one morning the servant gets up, opens his eyes, and he sees this massive great army around him. And he freaks out, wouldn't you? And Elisha wakes up and says, verse 16, well, he says verse 15, he says, "Don't panic." Yes, exactly. "Don't panic." I can see him running around. "Don't panic, don't panic." And he's not panicking, Elisha. He says, "Don't be afraid." Well, that's really good, isn't it? It's like when everybody sees angels in the scripture, the first words are, "Don't be afraid." Like my wife. Did I tell you she saw an angel once? Have you heard that story? Yeah, I have. All right. Can you remember it? No, she's in the middle of the night. She wakes up, which is a miracle. I'm asleep. And she wakes up. There's this being, this figure by the side of the bed. Now, Chris is so down-to-earth pragmatic and all the rest of it. This is, for her, this is just something else. True, isn't it? You know. And she wakes and she sees this being. She says, "Hello, who are you?" That's what she said. And she heard this being or sensed his words, his, her, whatever. He said, "I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you." She says, "Oh, all right," and went back to sleep. So I wake up the next morning. She flipping tells me this whole story. I said, "Why didn't you wake me up?" And she said, "It wasn't for you, it's for me." That's the lesson I've learned. So he says, oh, she is a case. It is. It's just classic. those who are with us are more than those who are with them. He's thinking, what's he on about? You know, what is he talking about? Then he prays, does Elisha? He says, oh Lord, open his eyes that he might see. And his eyes were open. And what did he see? Horses and chariots of fire all around them. Oh, my prayer, I'll be selfish. My prayer for me is, Lord, open my eyes. But my prayer for you is, open your eyes. Disturb our spirituality so that we might become seers as well as hearers. Because as far as I'm concerned, there's angelic beings all around us. I'm totally convinced. Do I see them? Sometimes I see outlines. I've got friends that see them all the time. It makes you want to spit, doesn't it? You may see angels. Well, lay hands on me now. All right. But I pray, Lord, open their eyes. Let's go up a gear. Let's go into something, because we are spiritual beings. We have the ability to be supernatural, extraordinary, haven't we? Yes, you said. So it says 1 Corinthians 12:10 to another prophecy, 14 verse 5, I would rather have you prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14:31, you can all prophesy. What does all mean? Oh, so everybody in this room, including the Babster, where's the Babster? Oh, there's one there. Is there another one? Is she a she? What's her name?
Martha.
Oh, I'm off. I'm on one. Hang on. I actually, if I can say this correctly, he's all right, isn't he? He's a bear, isn't he?
Yeah.
I really like Martha. When I see her, I'm going to give her a real kiss, a good one, because she really touches me, because she's as the spirit of a headless chicken. She tried to make Jesus tea when he didn't ask for it. I'm slightly exaggerating. She got in a real state when her sister Mary was sat at Jesus' feet, which was a cultural breaking up, and just wasn't on for women to be talmidim, to be disciples. Wasn't on. There's Mary. She wasn't all sentimentally flaky wakey about, oh Jesus. Because Jesus was not blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white Caucasian, was he? He probably had a bit of a big nose. But it doesn't matter. But Mary has got some. I always thought, I want to be like Mary and not like Martha. But there's something about Martha that I think is fantastic. And however domesticated she becomes, probably you don't see it much now, but Martha there is going to know something of the power of God, because she knew the scriptures, and when Jesus was saying he's going to rise, Lazarus, she says, yeah, of course he is at the end time. She nearly got into theology, She knew, and she was hustling and bustling. She was the first to Jesus. Oh, Jesus, if only. And he directs her. Even when the tomb was open, he said, take the stone away. And she said, good grief, Lord. It says in the Authorized, he
stinketh.
Absolutely. It says he stinketh. You need to know he did stinketh, because his body was decomposing and probably white crawlies were hanging around. Think about that, because it was so gross. This was a miracle. But she's right there. This young lady is going to know what it's like to be at the front of the queue, because she has an anointing to communicate. And what you'll do, is it you two? Yeah, you'll direct her with the love of God. And just sometimes you might have to hold her back, like restraining a horse to train a horse, you restrain it. Is that the right word? I don't mean that ungodly. You know what I mean. But there's something about her, a pioneer is the word. There's a poem by, it's called The Pioneer, long poem, might be interesting, but there's something about her to break ground, a breakthrough young woman. Fact, it must be Martha, the one with the prophetic anointing. She'd be fearless. You'll have to help her there. She'll want to push into stuff. You'll have to help her there. But what you'll do is see the Holy Spirit touch her, and you'll sort of direct her and train her so that she will be there, and often, more often than not, getting the answers right. Because academically and intellectually, there's no problem with her. Is that right? You can see it. Well, if she's better at maths than me, I'll be very pleased. There's something about her. And why can't she go into a career that will actually be a revelation of God to give her answers to some of the world's big needs in medicine or that sort of thing, you know. There we are. So I like Martha, don't you? And Jesus not used her in the wrong way, but she's there much more than Mary's there, really. She's there to really teach us and to show us something, isn't she? It's 3:25. What time will we be finishing? 4:30? All right. I've got no idea. I've lost the plot. Okay. So it says, 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spirituals. There we are. Especially the gift of prophesying. Make love your aim and desire. Don't you like that? Make love your aim. We're back to focusing on the Lord. But the word desire, you know some Greek, don't you? So if I said the word desire in the Greek is zelos, what would you think? Zealot. There you are, you know some Greek. Ha ha ha. Yeah. So you're seeking like Martha. I reckon her middle name is Zealos. Because it means to reach a goal, eager, striving, and enthusiastic. God's heart. There's an entheos in there about God's heart pushing through in an amazing way. So what are we going to do? We're going to focus and then follow and search and reach a goal. Do you know, I think it's time for us to get to the place where we are determined to push through. And you'll say, yes, I want to. But that means action. And what does that mean for you? Well, I don't know. But may God set you up and give you situations that you're moving. And before you know what you're doing, you're prophesying by words or by action. Or you're praying for the sick. Or you're just being kind. Graham Cook, remember, do you know old Cookie? He said that God is the kindest being there is. Let's be kind. The Lord spoke to me with that verse in Micah 6:8. Now you do know it, some of you. What does the Lord require of you? This is my word for the year for me. To do justice, love mercy, and to walk humbly. Love mercy is such a wonderful word about wholeness and healing. So we can do that out there. We can help and bless people. And maybe not even mention Jesus, but what you're doing, you're imparting something. I actually, when I'm home, which is a lot, certainly in the week, I pray for Chris's legs. I sort of, if I'm around, I help her dress, because I've just realized she gets out of bed, Jeff, a lot slower than most of this lot. You know, it might take her 5 or 10 minutes just to do that. So she's an overcomer, I think. So if I'm there, I'll help her. And I've introduced her to Vera. So what you say to Vera is, hello. You are so kind, aren't you? So I anoint her legs with aloe vera, and we get into life and resurrection. And, you know, you really felt for that, didn't you? But day by day by day by day. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow on. I'm going to be zealous. Martha Zealot. We're going to be zealous, Martha and I, aren't we? Look at her mum looking at me. Well, you know what's true now about her, don't you? Really, yeah. She needs reins, don't she? She needs reins, probably, you know. So there, we're on page 2. Hooray! Prophetic activation. What I'd like to do, I'd like to do something more practically, actually. Well, Matt's getting that booths. Do you get booths around here, the supermarket? It's a bit between Sainsbury's and Waitrose. So in Garstang, this biddy town, anybody know Garstang? Between Preston and Lancaster. It's about 8,000 or 10,000. We got Co-op, flipping Aldi, Sainsbury's, and booths. It's all right, really, isn't it? No, it's not. Have you? No, look at that bag there. There's something in there. Haven't you got booths?
No,
tell mate. Yeah. What was I saying? Is he being naughty? Okay. What I'd love to do, and it might be later, is get you all involved in some practical application for the prophetic. That's it. So I'm hopefully going to divide you into four groups later, and then you're going to look at some sort of visual object and see if you can think laterally in God and get some prophetic words. And the spokesperson in your group will come out here and tell us. Be good, wouldn't it? There's a few traps there, you know, but before I do that, how can I grow, question, in the prophetic ministry, and how can I receive more deeper, sharper, revelatory words from God? Answer is, I didn't write this, I got it from somewhere, where I don't know. It's a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit, and there are not any quick ways, there is no methodology. I can't tell you how to produce something, but I can indicate how to cooperate. And if you've been listening, I'm pushing you to cooperate with him. There it is. And I think that's important. The issue is to be diligent, pursue love. There we are. And there's these four ways. Yield to the Holy Spirit, shut up and listen, shut up and listen, step out and play safe, and relax and push. Now, ladies, you know, relax. Well, with our firstborn, I was there pushing at the shoulders, you know, doing my bit, like heck I was. Nearly fainted. She gets gas and air. This is 1971. Chris gets gas and air and starts speaking in tongues loudly because she went a bit gas and airified, you know. Do you get gas and air these days, or have I lost the plot? Do you? Well, speak in tongues, see what happens. And it's all going on, you know. And that's relaxing and pushing, isn't it? So you're halfway there, ladies, aren't you? You know, it's no problem. Bing! You know. As if. Yeah, I know. Honestly.